afternoon, everybody. It is Thursday afternoon, and it is now time for Inside the Eye Live Prime Time.
Hey, Fetch.
Quiet. Go ahead. She's asking a question. Don't be rude.
Hey, Fetch, did that woman really say you have garnets of steel and a mind like a freaking laser?
Mary, you can't be asking questions like that. This is Inside the Eye Live Prime Time.
Why not? Aren't we broadcasting from the Middle East?
Well, yeah, but we might be seen as being politically incorrect.
You know, the problem is everybody dumps people when there's a sign of political incorrectness.
Etan, you're always politically correct.
Heck, thanks. Does that mean we can talk about dumping the Israelis tomorrow?
Oh, I'm sure you will probably say quite a bit more than that. And now coming to you live from somewhere in the Middle East.
All right, everybody.
This is Inside
from
the Eye Live Prime Time with your host, the
Jordan.
Fetch.
This is the Fetch. Let me get this thing pulled up here. This is the Fetch, everybody. Again, from Amman, Jordan. Today's date is... What is today's date? Today's date's June the 14th. That's right. June the 14th, everybody. And a good Thursday afternoon to early evening to all of you listening in the United States and Canada. And a good late afternoon, really late evening to early morning, Friday morning to all of you listening in European and Asian time zones. And, of course, wherever you are listening out there on the World Wide Web or our FM and micro FM broadcasting outlets, may all be well with you and yours. Let's see here. Trying to see what's going on. Stream health. Looks like we are streaming now on YouTube. I believe that's live. Let me just finish this intro. Yes, it's going live. Okay, good. All right. We are now streaming live again on YouTube, everybody, for this show. So you might want to go over to youtube.com/live_ videos or something like that. Or what is it? youtube.com/user/InsideTheEyeLive, I believe is how it works there. But anyways, we are now streaming live again on YouTube. So take a look and let me know again how you like it. Anyways, again, the weather here in Amman has been very, very nice to say the least. And what we've had is temperatures really all through the week in the middle 70s, but that's improved. Temperature-wise, it's increased a little bit. It's gone up to about 83 degrees today, but right now we're sitting at about 68 degrees. Winds are pretty much negligible now. We had a little small cold front walk or blow its way through the other last couple of days. They had a little bit of rain yesterday, and overall it was really a very nice day. Yesterday. Today's kind of hot, 83 degrees, but with the breeze throughout most of the day, it was actually pretty good. Tonight, though, we're sitting again at about 68 degrees right now with very, very little wind, but it's still a very, very, very nice evening. So we're going to be going down to about 62 degrees in the hour before sunrise. So it should be a pretty nice night, and then tomorrow we're going to be warming up even more. So it's going to be, I guess, a little bit hot here in Amman. It's been quite a bit. Well, first of all, again, the YouTube stream is now up, InsideTheEyeLive.com. It's not listed on InsideTheEyeLive.com yet, so you should go to YouTube and just search Inside the Eye Live, or you can go to /user/InsideTheEyeLive, and that will get you into the YouTube live stream. Just follow, try to get to the video there. Not sure how to do this. I have to probably just practice a little bit more so I know exactly how to do this. But we've prepared a nice little show for you today. So again, we hope you enjoy the show. It has been quite a busy week news-wise for sure, starting with President Trump's summit meeting in Malaysia? You'd think I would know that. Was it Malaysia, Indonesia? Where the heck did he go? I forget exactly. Where did he go? I forgot. Anyways, not a big deal for us over here in the Middle East. It was kind of an interesting show part on his part, of course, to go in, take Kim Jong-un, and basically seems like he had a meeting out of the palm of his hand a little bit. But it's possible that actually happened. Maybe he was wowed a little bit by having the president of the United States actually come to meet him. But we'll have to see how that all boils down really when you get to it. If you're looking at denuclearization on the peninsula, that's always a good thing. The fact that we're going to be able to hopefully put to rest a conflict that has been going since the 1950s and has been in a stalemate since 1953, that would probably be a good thing also. So hopefully we can get this thing resolved and the two Korean people, the two divided people, can get back. A lot of these people are starting to basically pass away. You know, you look at 1950s, so those who were divided all the way back then, you're looking at a situation where, you know, it's been a long time. They're in their 70s now, perhaps up into the 80s. And what could you say? You know, I'm sure a lot of the brothers would like to meet the sisters. Sisters would like to meet the brothers. The cousins and so forth of that generation would like to get together. So it really would be a nice thing if everybody inside of that part of the world were able to solve this crisis and actually put things to bed. Perhaps the best thing to take out of the summit, though, was President Trump again lodging a little assault on the Jewish-controlled media. And, of course, what he did state was that the media, the mainstream media, which is the Jewish-controlled media, are enemies of the American people. And that's a very key point here. It's something to be keeping in the spotlight as we keep moving forward, because we are finding ourselves under a type of full court press here in the West by Jewish organizations who want to continue to clamp down on free speech, who want to continue to insult basically our entire nation. They want to insult all of our intelligence. They want to insult really Western civilization. They misuse our language. They abuse our language. They come across as very childish, mean-spirited, nasty people. And I think personally, it's something that is going to have to come to a head as more and more people wake up to the reality that organized political Jewry and their media indeed are enemies of the American people. And really, when you go back to everything, you can look back to something like 9/11. And of course, 9/11 was such that the mainstream media had to be actively involved in everything that happened on 9/11. So essentially, we are talking about a treason at the highest levels. We have so many Jewish people, Jews from Israel, who were arrested on 9/11, and they were actually allowed to escape from the country. And of course, that points again to how much treason is at the highest levels of the United States government. This government, quite frankly, has a layer of treason that is probably so deep and unfathomable that when you talk about draining the swamp, perhaps it's not even possible without some really nasty activities as part of the activity to drain that swamp. So it's going to be very, very interesting to see how things move forward. But people are starting to wake up to the reality that the problem here is really Jewish control of so many aspects of American society and the West at large. And perhaps you don't agree with me, but I would challenge you to take a look. I mean, at the end of the day, I just can't see it as any other way. These guys just continue to control as much as they can. I mean, whether it's going to be the banking, whether it's going to be politicians, whether they're going to buy this, buy that. They don't believe in a representative democracy by any stretch of the imagination. What they believe in is their own superiority, and that they have a right and a duty and an obligation to suppress everybody under their tutelage. And of course, that is going to come to a head, because we are looking at essentially a society of idiots who want to control everything. And remember, Jews have never, ever, ever controlled forever a single piece of real estate that they have come across. They've always been kicked out of these various nations. When they got kicked out of Russia in the 1990s, that's when the Russian people and the Russian nation was able to begin to heal again. And it has taken them a long time after losing 60, 70 million people or more from Jewish terror you can understand why perhaps it was just good for the Russians to get rid of all of their Jews or as much as they could. And of course, those people are now working hand and foot to make and bring tyranny to all of us here in the West as they left Russia and came to our nations. Locally here, excuse me, locally here, it's Eid. Eid is Eid al-Fitr, as they call it. I kind of heard the announcement on the mosque earlier today, did some research. I did see an official announcement coming out of the Kuwaiti government sector or religious sector, whatever the case may be. So today is the start of a three-day minimum holiday for the locals. They're going to, again, be closed. All the government offices, banks, and everything will be closed probably until, I would guess, Monday or Tuesday. I'm not sure exactly what, but I know Saudi is going to be closed until probably the 24th or something to that effect. So it's going to be a long holiday season now. Not a long holiday season, but we're going to be going into a holiday now in the next, well, it started officially like it. Sundown, something like that. Not sure when they saw the new moon, but that's how they do it here. So again, with governments closing, but the restaurants are going to be starting to open up again. People are going to be able to start smoking out there. They're going to be able to start drinking again. Whatever the case is, they're going to be able to do what they have been sacrificing this whole month for. And I call it the Ramadan stupor, because essentially people change their entire lifestyle, their entire biological clock to fit this idea called the fast or the fasting. And so people become almost zombified within 2-3 weeks, not even 3 weeks, within a week and a half to 2 weeks, people really become zombified. And then it's very, very difficult for anybody to function in this part of the world. So that will start to slowly come back to normal. It usually takes still another 2 to 3 weeks before the people start to really come back and get their biological clock reordered again. Internationally, of course, this is the FIFA World Cup. It kicked off today. The event, like the Olympics, is held every 4 years. And for many countries, the pinnacle of nationalist sporting pride is actually from the football teams or the soccer teams, as they're called locally. There was a Middle East paper. They came out with a very bold headline. King Salman of Saudi Arabia has breakfast with 24 princes, and Prince Mohammed bin Salman is not present. Ooh, they never, you know, this is the dishonesty of Jewish reporting. I can't stand Jewish reporting, really. It's so nauseatingly dishonest and unfair. Why didn't I read the headline. Whoa, why wasn't he there? He's with Putin, sitting with Putin right now, watching the Saudi national team get their butts kicked by the Russians 5-0 in the opening game, which happened to have about 74,000 people. Again, Jews are just, it's sleaze, man. Come on, you freaking morons. You write the headline, oh, he's not there. It's like, oh, what's up with this? Maybe there's something wrong. No, you could have told us, you freaking morons, really, that he was with Putin and cheering on his team, which got their butt kicked. But you didn't do that. It's like, come on, dudes. How stupid do you Jews have to be all the time to keep reporting like this? Why is it that every time I pick up a Jewish newspaper, I'm being lied to? It's like, you guys are such freaking morons. You couldn't tell the truth if your life depended on it. And one day it just might. You never know. Because right now the people are getting pissed off. Literally pissed off. Right now, it's at an intellectual level, and we see it everywhere. Jews keep attacking on the intellectual level. They're banning this. They're delegitimizing that. They're going after that. I've seen it grow and grow and grow, but the more it grows and the more idiotic this whole suppressive nature of Jewish society attacks our Western ways of life, it just affects more and more people. And people are saying, what the hell did I get banned for? Well, you know what? You got banned because you didn't kiss Mr. Yarmulke head's butt. You know, that's why you got banned, dude. And people are seeing it. And we're seeing the dishonesty. And even though I think Trump on a national level or an international level is a nutcase when it comes to Israel. Quite frankly, the guy's a nutcase. But we have to probably, again, the benefit of the doubt here, if you want to give people the benefit of the doubt, is that Trump is maybe under some type of influence, he can't go against Jewish international banking interests. It's just too powerful right now. All of this is possible. I'll grant that. But look, what he did do, and he served a huge service to all of us, was mentioning the fact that the mainstream media is the enemy of the American people. And you cannot separate Jewish political ideology from the mainstream media. So therefore, by linking the two together, it's very obvious right now that the mainstream media vis-a-vis the Jewish political operation is the enemy of the people. And you can call it any way you want, but that's about the only way that you're actually going to be able to interpret this. You know, going back to the FIFA, the World Cup. It's huge here in Jordan. I've been watching the World Cup here in Jordan since 2006, believe it or not. And what will happen here is the games get going on. They're going to start opening up some outdoor venues, and you can go out, have some shisha, have a drink if you want. Quite frankly, go to the right hotel or the right bar. You can actually go have a drink, enjoy. It's a bit expensive, but you can do it. And watch the World Cup, and people just go crazy here. Kind of like, I guess, America does for their football, the Super Bowl, although we would certainly like to encourage people to continue to boycott the NFL. There are only two African teams, actually, that made it to the FIFA World Cup. One of them is Senegal, and I'm not sure how good this team is. And the second African team is from France. So basically we have the France team and the Senegal team. Both teams are basically African teams. France has had such massive population replacement that France is actually not even able. Literally, France has become so screwed. They're not even capable of fielding a French team anymore. There are, if you look at different pictures, because there, you go do a search on FIFA, France, 2008, there's multiple pictures that are claiming to be representative. And so not exactly sure how this is playing out, but in one picture, there were two French people. The rest were Africans. On another picture, there were five from France and six from Africa. So basically, you're looking at a national team in France that's not French anymore. There's no such thing as a French national team. There is an African national, there is an African team playing for France, but there's no such thing as a French national team. The French long ago, if you looked back to the last FIFA World Cup in 2014, I believe it was. It's 4 years ago, I guess. Is it 2 or 4 years? I think it's every 4 years. But basically the same thing was true. The French do not have the capability to field a French team. There's no such thing as a national French team anymore. And there really hasn't been for probably, I don't know, 2-3 World Cups now, if you look back. But I know the last World Cup, there was no French team. So basically, France is lost. France is just a bunch of idiots. We'll get more to France, actually, a little bit longer there, or a little bit later in the show. Let's see. Some people do get the demographic issue. Of course, you can imagine some people are getting it. One of those people that gets it is, her name is Tamara Pletnyova. Pletnyova, I believe I'm saying that correctly, actually. Tamara Pletnyova. She is the head of the Parliament's Committee for Families, Women, and Children for the Russian federal government. And she's warning Russian women not to have sex with non-white men, as their children may face discrimination. And this was brought up because after the 1980 winter or summer games that happened way back then, you had the same situation. You had a lot of sex going on with Russian women, with a lot of these black athletes and black visitors that come into these major sporting events, get the women pregnant, fly off, and then the children end up being discriminated against quite heavily. And what she says here, she said, we must give birth to our children. These mixed race kids suffer and have suffered since Soviet times. And that is Pletnyova speaking to Govorit Moskva radio station. Quoting her, she says, it's one thing No, if you're listening there, I don't have any guests scheduled today. So I do for Saturday, but no guests are scheduled today, folks. It's going to be just a 2 hour Inside the Eye Live primetime show. Okay. Thanks so much. Studio saying we're all good to go. So that's a good thing. We may, of course, get phone calls. And of course, that's always good. 1-323-275-1314. That's 1-323-275-1314. Now, Pletinova, she said it's one thing if they're of the same race, but quite another if they're of a different race. I'm not a nationalist, but nevertheless, I know that children suffer and they are abandoned and that's it. They stay here with mom and away it goes. Am I supposed to? I don't think I'm supposed to take that call. Now, Pletinova said that she would like Russian citizens to get married out of love, regardless of their ethnicity, but she's basically coming down firmly against, basically Russian women messing around with all the visitors coming in for the games coming up here, this coming 3 weeks, 4 weeks, something like that. A big story, of course, for us is Alison Chablot. Alison Chablot has been a guest here multiple times. I don't know, two, maybe three times. I've appeared with her on the Graham Hart Show with Reiser out of the UK, Cornwall Revolution Radio, something like that. And she went to her trial today for the sentencing, and she was sentenced basically a suspended sentence. And many different headlines came out of this, which were really insulting. And since insulting is something in Jewish parlance you can jail people for, basically we need to start jailing Jews left and right if they insult you. And we need to make it known that it's absolutely critical that insulting people, if you're Jewish, has repercussions and you should be jailed. And quite frankly, you should not have any pity for any Jew that is jailed due to the fact that they've insulted somebody who is not Jewish. And the reason I say that is because we have to start playing the game according to the rules, and Jews are setting the rules. And the Jewish Chronicle, which is actually one of the few papers that gave a fair headline, they wrote that a Holocaust revisionist, that's a fair headline, has avoided jail after being convicted of posting grossly offensive anti-Semitic songs online. Well, if you've heard these songs, there's absolutely nothing grossly offensive about them. All we're finding here is that Jews are whining like literally crybabies about things that they think is absolutely normal to do everywhere. For instance, you've got Geert Wilders. He's one of the leading politicians, I think, in Denmark. I believe it's Denmark. Maybe it's Holland. And they're making up some huge anti-Muhammad cartoon drawing contests. And you say, it's not the contest, it's not the drawing of these that are the problem. It's Muslims killing people for these being drawn that's the problem. But the problem with the Geert Wilders and the Tommy Robinsons and all these guys that are playing this anti-Islam card, and I'm not saying we need to be pro-Islam here. We need to be rational. But the scumbaggery of these people like Geert Wilders is that, where are you, Mr. Wilders, with all the people getting thrown in jail for singing a song? Where are you talking about how people are thrown into jail because they don't believe in a particular history that Jews are absolutely maniacal about, and they're telling you have to believe it or you will be thrown in jail? Where are these people in the Western anti-Islamic front when it comes to the Jewish issue? I say, Geert Wilders, you're a freaking coward, dude. Why don't you start dealing with the real issue? You got someone being on a suspended sentence because she wrote a song after being trolled for months and months and months by a bunch of couple freaking unregistered Israeli agents in the UK. And yet you guys are silent. You want to now go make cartoons about Islam and Muhammad? and you're going to worry about the backlash, but you can't see that Jews are setting the whole thing here, where they're also their own protect. Why aren't you guys talking about Jews, Mr. Geert? I say Geert Wilders is a freaking coward. I say all of those who fail to deal with the reality of what is happening out there, especially when it comes to Jewish domination of the political sphere, they're cowards. Plain and simple, man. They're freaking cowards. Recently, this week, another person out of Labour inside of the UK was bounced from the party because of quote-unquote anti-Semitism. We are hearing about this use of the charge anti-Semitism to kick people out of politics left and right and right and left. It's something seriously wrong out there in our system. It's the Fetch Inside the Eye. All right, everybody, welcome back. It's the Fetch Inside the Eye live prime time for, again, Thursday, June, what, the 14th, I believe it is, something like that. Again, we're coming to you live from Amman, where, again, we're having pretty nice weather. It's hot now because I've got the lights and everything, and I've had to shut everything up because we're really too much noise. I noticed last week we had a lot of problems with some background noise from mosques and cars. So when I was listening to it, I just didn't like it. So I went ahead and went back to shuttering everything. Whether I'm uncomfortable or not, it doesn't matter, right? What matters is the product. Again, so that's we've done that. Again, we like to say we are streaming this live on YouTube. So again, go check out the stream, InsideTheEyeLive.com. Not InsideTheEyeLive.com. Go to YouTube. User is InsideTheEyeLive. Again, so check it out. Let me know what you think. Not a whole lot of people there. Actually, I haven't checked anything out, man. Where are we here? Let me check out the YouTube. Not the YouTube. What do you call that? Go here. The live chat. Hello, everybody. 10 people there. Blackbird, Defy the Parasite, George, Joe, Merbailey, Wolfgang, and a few others. So, guys, again, welcome back to the chat room Thursday afternoon. I hope you're enjoying the show as always. And we are looking forward to, again, a quick evening, because it's tomorrow's going to be the first non-Ramadan day here since I arrived. Actually, not, that's not true. I came the day before Ramadan also. So I'm going to get out tomorrow. I'm going to try to get out and go enjoy myself. I'm going to go out and have a barbecue, something like that. Should be a lot of fun. It is listener-sponsored and supported radio. It does rely upon your donations to help keep the network live, up and running. And so what we'd like you to do is always keep the network in your hearts and prayers. So when you are, again, looking to see where you can support efforts, this is one place where you can certainly support Revolution.radio, because we use their platform extensively. We're putting together 5 hours worth of content. We remain probably, if not, well, we're pretty sure we're the number one show now here. So again, so without us, without obviously you, the listener, we don't have this show. And without Revolution.radio, we don't have a platform. So again, everybody, we ask you to support the network. You can always see how the network is doing with its donations. And then if you can help 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, 12 months, it's all very, very good. And we certainly appreciate your support in that regard. We are going to be putting together, I'm listening, guys. I'm tired, everybody, but I am reading. I'm multitasking. I got to talk. I got to sound like I know what I'm talking about, and sometimes I actually do. We're actually going to have a good show Saturday. We're going to have Mark Collett coming on. Mark Collett has a very good YouTube, not YouTube. He's got a very good Twitter. I got to slow down a little bit. He's got a good Twitter following. He wrote a book called The Fall of Western Man, something like that, and he reports extensively on the UK. So we're going to look forward to having him come in to join us this Saturday. So it's going to be a lot of good joining us. From the or area code is Frank, I believe. Hi, welcome to Inside the Eye Live.
Well, hello, Fetch. You know, I'm sitting here in traffic, and I had the top down, but okay. I couldn't hear you, so I had to put the top back up and turn the air on. It's pretty hot, but you know, you've already earned your pay for the day, Fetch. I mean, just in the first half hour, you've already gone above and beyond. You know, you're one of the few people
out
here.
You're being kind today, man. But I appreciate.
I mean, you know, the thing is, you're one of the few people out here, Fetch, that just unapologetically just tells it how it is, man. It's so refreshing. I mean, I don't know if anybody else will do it. They all hem and haw and make excuses, and then they retract. Oh, well, I didn't really mean it, you know.
Yeah,
but anyway, I just, go ahead.
Yeah, well, I'm saying the retractions are ridiculous. If you don't mean to say it, don't say it. I get so tired of retractions, apologies.
It.
Just don't say it if you don't mean it. And somebody's got to say it, Frank, because nobody's really saying it. It's so obvious in front of all of our faces what's going on now. They put an anti-Semitic law inside of South Carolina, which, of course, as we all know, South Carolina has always been this major pro-Jewish run state, even back to the slave trade. That's where they had it headquartered. You and I know that. We know that. So, heck, man, people just got to wake up. And, of course, that's, I guess, why you come to Inside the Alive.
Yeah, well, I didn't know that, actually, until after I was 40 years old, but I sure do know it now. But anyway, you've already earned your you ought to have one of your people get in contact with me sometime, because there's something I'd like to do for you. But I'm not on the Internet very much. But
I
could get something to you.
I have your number. So,
okay. Have Blackbird 9 or somebody get in contact with me. I could probably work with them and get something to you, but...
Because, yeah, I have
I have
the California number, so you can always, if you see the California number come in, that's coming from yours truly, even though I'm in Jordan.
Okay.
But nonetheless,
I don't know how much.
Don't worry about the money. It's nothing. It's a penny a minute, man. Come on.
Okay.
You know what I mean? I'm using technology to go to L.A., and I just terminate from L.A., so it's just a penny a minute. It doesn't cost much. So,
All right, man. Well, keep up the great work, man. I don't even know how to describe it, what you do, because you're just unique out there on the scene, as far as I can tell. So,
yeah. Appreciate it. I got a lot more coming up. Just wait, man. I still got an hour and a half to go. Talk to you soon. Thanks, Frank. That's Frank, everybody. Again, we are listener sponsored supported. We just wanted to make that known again that it does rely upon your donations to help keep the network alive, up and running. Definitely go out, check out the YouTube. Let's try to support that equally. That would be another unique way to bring the platforms together. And again, we have another call coming in from the 864 area code. Hi, welcome to Inside the iLive.
How you doing, Fetch?
How are you, man?
This is Mike, and I just thought I'd put my 2 cents worth in, since Frank got his 2 cents worth.
All right. Welcome
and
to...
And it always turns out, he always turns out at 3 cents instead of 2 cents. But he's on target.
Well, I'm trying to get you guys up to a nickel, man. We got to get you up to a nickel or a quarter now.
I thought I'd mention something, too, that's really interesting with people... If everybody would turn around and take their hands and put them in front of them, okay, this is what you find out. That you're born a racist, whether you like it or not. That's what you have to deal with, is you're born a racist. It's how you look at it. And you'll find out that probably 20% of the bottom half of any tribe are not the kind of people you want to run with or be around. And then there's another 20% of certain tribes that are they're educated beyond their intelligence. This is where you start thinking they're better than everybody else. But the 2 cents I wanted to put in to help you out a little bit, you might already know this, is that when you take two tribes, especially, say, a white and a black person, and they have a child together, did you know that the IQ is affected greatly? The average IQ of a white is 100, and the average IQ of a black is 71. That's not a good place to be. And people don't realize that if you don't take your genetics into consideration when you deal with people, you're going to get some surprises you're not looking for, especially in the medical arena. But when it comes to doing intelligence, the brain size, the brain mass average is what determines the IQ. And you'll find out that's why the Asians are number one in line, and I mean the Chinese, and then the Asians, and then the white Europeans, and then the whites over in America. The Jews are down there right around 5 or 6, if they're lucky. But I keep asking them every time I hear this God's chosen people. I keep asking them which God chose them. Most likely it was Lucifer.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of things to pass on to people if they just understood that in their Bible. And I'm not a religious person. I sit on the fence, okay? Because everybody has the way to get to the happy hunting ground. And I'm thinking, and somebody's not quite right. I'm going to enjoy what I see. So here's what I've come up with, and that is that if you look very carefully in the Bible, it says that all the Jews wants to believe that God left the lands of Israel to the Jews. That is a complete, total Jewish lie. God left the lands of Judea, which is the Ottoman Empire, to the Israelites, who are the original 12 Hebrew tribes of Jacob. And those are biblical facts, but they don't want you to know that.
Well, and of course, to me, the issues we face today, we could throw all this religiosity out the window. We've got them identified. We know who they are. We see their actions day in, day out. We don't need to rely on any type of religious type of programming at this stage from our side. I think we can just go after them and keep targeting them as much as possible. We're going to take casualties like an Alison Chabot today, but we have no choice because they do not have our best interest at heart, and people need to keep that in mind.
That's right. And you also mentioned, too, about South Carolina passing an anti-Semitic law.
Yes.
I've tried to dig into that, find out something, and I'm not doing real well. So what do you know about that?
Basically, I don't know too much about it either, but it was passed, I believe, about 2 weeks ago, 2.5-3 weeks ago, that basically starts to criminalize anti-Semitism on campus or allows for the state to withdraw funding for different organizations if there is provable anti-Semitism on campuses. So it's mainly targeting the college campuses. So that might help for you to try to track it down, but it's really trying to clamp down on the campuses at the moment.
Well, I find it interesting. I'll look a little bit stronger, but I think I've also heard that if there's any type of not doing business with Israel or talking about the Jews behind their backs or bringing up the Holocaust, which everybody knows is a hoax, it's pretty obvious that your First Amendment is going away. And I find it real strange here in South Carolina that we've got an unelected governor, Henry McMaster, who is getting the oil companies to pad up all of his accounts so he makes sure he gets the new governorship. But the hidden thing about Henry is the fact he's a hidden crypto Jew. Mark Sanford, who was a former governor, just finished losing his seat. He's no longer in there any longer. He's Jewish. He's a hidden Jew. Mm-hmm. And this is what they're doing. They're just rotating this on that mess over and over again among themselves. Now, let me also to give you one more thing. Next week, the Congress is supposed to vote on the DACA issue of the illegals. You want to be real damn careful with this thing, because if that thing goes through for some reason, I guarantee you that you'll never see another Republican president ever again. And also electronic voting machines in South Carolina, they were brought in by Nikki Haley before she left, and Diebold's one of them. And if you look at blackboxvoting.com, it's blackboxvoting.com, you'll find out they're all rigged coming from the manufacturer. They had major problems with a lot of them here in South Carolina with the preliminaries yesterday. So that's one issue. And the other issue is that when they show up for voting, people show up for voting, all they have to do is show their ID. Well, excuse me, but has anybody asked them if they were citizens first? This is the kind of nonsense that's going on, and this is why these politicians think they're going to move right in.
It's only happening where Jews are in power. It's not happening in the Middle East. Seriously. It's not happening in Asia. It's not happening in South America. It's only happening where we have a preponderance of Jewish power. And so we can only start to analyze this and saying that Jews are basically selling out our countries.
They bought it up is what they've done. They've gone in with the Federal Reserve, and they have printed all the money up to buy the politicians off. This is This is all already well known. They've been bought off. And there was warnings this morning on our local news that the politicians should take note of one thing, that on the Mexican border, on the Mexican side, there have been 107 or 109 politicians who've been shot through the head so far by the MS-13 and also the drug gangs. And they're saying the warning is that once these gangs jump across the Rio Grande and they come into our country, the politicians had better start getting themselves really trenched up and find a big rabbit hole, because they're probably going to be next. People are just infuriated with what's going on. This is just turned upside down. This isn't America anymore. That's why everybody wanted to come to America. You had some morality here. The integrity was here. And once the Jews came in, they all left. You could see it falling apart.
Yeah. And people complain to me about that. They say, Dennis, these are people, as you know, I'm overseas and I have been for 10 years. They say, Dennis, America has changed so much. I don't even care to go back anymore. There's something wrong with your country. And of course, I tell them it's Jews is what's wrong with my country. And they say, yeah, we agree with you. They say you're fine. We understand you. But obviously, it's the Jewish people have a stranglehold on your country. And unless you guys can change it, what can we do? You know, we can just
identify it just like you do. You point out the problems and the weaknesses and where they're trying to infiltrate. And it's obvious, people don't know it, but Charleston, South Carolina was one of the largest Jewish communities outside of New York City. Mm-hmm. And that's where B'nai B'rith started back in the 1800s. And that's the third parallel, and the third parallel goes over to London. And that's another connection right there. So there's significant takeover, especially our elite colleges have been taken over also.
Yeah, it's a huge problem right now. And people are at least talking about it, and that's always the first step. Again, we keep in mind Jews have never, ever been able to maintain a country forever. They've always lost everything because they don't know how to build. They only know how to make money by destroying. Mike, want to move along? Anything else you want to quickly add?
Yeah, quickly add, I'm going to say that under Hillary's regime as Secretary of State, she handed over the United States to the United Nations. And that was very quietly done. So there's another one of your problems. The UN's behind all this immigration. That's insanity. And half the people who work at the UN are all Muslims.
Yes, for the most part. I mean, you got 1.5 billion Muslims out there, so it's not a global demographic by any stretch of the imagination. And of course, they're all social justice warriors. They're going to help out the poor, oppressed people as much as they can.
Well, I'm going to let you go. I thank you very much for taking my call. Do us a favor real quick and make sure you get in contact with Blackbird 9. We need to get in touch with him. He's just right up the road, but he needs to respond. So, Frank and I have talked about that. And so we can get in touch with him.
Okay.
We got some more stuff to pass on, too. And you're well listened to. So carry on.
All right. Thanks so much, Mike. And I know Blackbird 9 is probably listening. So, Blackbird, you heard it, man. You got to do something there. It's The Fetch, everybody, again, right here on Revolution.radio. And the ITEL Cat Report. I have to make an ITEL Cat Report thing. I got to watch my hand. Can't get too high there. But I got to do an ITEL Cat Report thing. That's next. But the ITEL Cat Report, it's brought to you by friendsofgrism.blogspot.com. Again, this is a group that specializes in high-level IT coding and programming, able to work on websites to make things a little bit more efficient. They've been behind some of the improvements at InsideTheEyeLive.com. I haven't talked to them in a while because I know they've been traveling around in Europe and then back to America. So when they get back home, we'll be setting up shop and probably integrating some of this YouTube stuff and improving the website a bit more. But if you ever have a need, you could always give me a message at thefetch@insidetheeyelive.com. If there are any websites out there that are working on the our movement, so to speak, funny for me to say that. I've always been an individualist, but if anybody's working in within the movement, we will have some people able to work with you at a very senior level who can help you put together a very, very solid website.
Hey, Fetch, what day was your birthday?
10th.
Yours is the 10th?
The 10th, yeah. I was born, Saturday, I think it was. Was it Saturday or Sunday? Sunday was my birthday.
Mine's on the USS Liberty Day on the 8th.
Yeah, and I heard Frank's also somewhere around now. So we got a lot of us Geminis. Yeah. And President Trump, of course. So all of us smart guys that get it. Because I know Trump gets it. I know he gets it. Come on, man. I know he gets it. There happen to be a lot of Geminis out there. So, and you know, sometimes.
I'm going to go ahead and bounce off. You have yourself a good time. Watch your back and those people out there listening to you.
All right. Thanks so much for that.
Adios.
All right. That's Mike, everybody, South Carolina. I thought he'd hung up already. I wasn't paying attention. But nonetheless, everybody, the Cat Report, not a whole lot to really report on. Again, that's a good thing. But there was 3 days ago, One Eye was out there and he was like fighting up a storm. And so what we did is we had to rescue him a little. Actually, he didn't need rescuing. The other cat needed rescuing this time. Always it's Car and One Eye. They are always fighting each other all of the time. And Car was bleeding pretty badly. So Emily was a very good Samaritan. She rescued Car. She brought One Eye home and kind of put him in. And I swear I gave him two pieces of bacon. Literally two pieces of bacon, just little niblets of bacon, and he ate it, and then he just conked out and went to sleep. I'm like, dude, you can't be that sleepy that fast. But he was out. He was gone. Bruiser's just have a lot of fun. He's getting big. He's getting heavy. He's like a brick. And, you know, he's blind, so we feed him well. We try not to overfeed him because he can't exercise. But he's just becoming a brick, literally a brick, and it's unbelievable how heavy this guy is getting. But he's just a lot of fun because when it's time for bed, he usually comes by, meows and talks up a little bit of a storm. And then he kind of like plops down on my head, or next to my head and, sleeps with me. So he's been a lot of fun. One Eye, he likes to sleep on my desk to the left of me here. So we've had a lot of good times with the cats. I know Bruiser right now is actually sitting out there in the kitchen. He likes to sleep in the window, in the kitchen window right now. And I do promise that we're going to, if not this show, we'll get him on another show, not this show, because nobody's home. Actually, it's Eid, folks. And what that means, the girls are gone. I've been a bachelor all day today. Literally, they left at about 9:30 this morning. They came back for a short time. They were nice enough to feed me a little bit. Then they took right off again. And they probably won't be home until, it's 2:00 now. They probably won't be home till 3-4 in the morning. And the reason for that is because it's Eid. And the women here, they don't take care of themselves during the Ramadan month. After Ramadan, it's manicure time, it's pedicure time, it's sugar, it's haircuts, it's all kinds of different things that they need to do to make themselves ready to be presentable again to the family. So that's kind of how the women kind of, I don't know if you say suffer, let's say sacrifice here. They just don't take care of themselves as far as the beauty side goes. Health and beauty care, not health, but beauty care goes right out the window. So this is the time of year where it's almost like Christmas time for the ladies in the salon business. So it's a lot of home house calls, literally, and I'm sure she'll be home. The girls here will be home probably 2-3 in the morning, and that's normal, quite frankly. So I'm just going to kind of finish the show here. I got an hour to go, and it'll be just a lot of sleeping for me. If they don't come in, I'll just call to make sure they're okay. What else can we do? Let's see. Inside the Eye Live, again, is streaming on YouTube. Again, if you haven't checked it out, we've got a very good program set up today for sure. It's a fairly good program. So go check out Inside the Eye Live on YouTube. What I want to do is I'm going to wait for the Oy Vey moment until after the hour now, simply because we only got a few more minutes to go, and then the show is going to be, not the show, but the break's going to come up. So let's just kind of keep this moving along. One of the stories that I was following a little bit is the Italian crisis. And what it is, we had a refugee ship, and it's not a refugee ship. It's a human trafficking ship. And it was brought into a port, I believe, off of Sicily. Don't quote me on exactly that port. But they came in, 649 people on board. Literally 649 people. That's huge, okay? And the Italians said, you can't dock here. They sent it to Malta. Malta says you can't dock here. The Spanish now have decided to go ahead and let the ship dock. But you know what, folks? Why, again, are the Europeans allowing their nations on a governmental level? This is something that you who are listening from Europe, and we in America equally, the demographics is everything. You're hearing it at every level now of the discussion. On the national level, it's on Fox News with Tucker Carlson. He's bringing it up all the time. It's very clear. It's now on the national level in Sweden, where we have now the Social Democrats are losing and falling like a rock, while some of the anti-immigrant parties are now climbing up quite steadily. We have the new government inside of Italy. You have Hungary, which is now praising the Italian decision. You have German politicians in open revolt against Merkel. Folks, the demographics is everything. How are you going to bring in 600 people, literally, for nothing? There's no sponsor. There's nowhere to work. What, they just come and you're just going to open up your wallet and give them money? Is that what you want to do? Folks, this is just a stupid, idiotic plan. And those behind it should be seen as absolute literal traitors, folks. Nothing less. No other country in the world would tolerate this level of abject, moronic idiocy that we see. Seriously, nobody. It's got to be some of the dumbest type of policy I've ever witnessed. Folks, I've been all over the world. I've probably been to 30 different countries. Okay? 30. I don't know if it's not 30, but it's pretty darn close. I know what it's like to go here, to go there, to keep my papers alive here and keep it there and close out an account there and do. I know all kinds of stuff that a lot of people don't understand. But folks, nobody ever treats foreigners like this. Jewish people are screwing America right now. Bottom line, this idea of opening up the gates is idiotic, folks. It's completely idiotic and it's treason. And it should be viewed as being treason. Now, the reason why, and it's very clear, we've got more on this coming up in the next hour, but the reason why Jews are so eager now to focus on anti-Semitism and to define it and to crush it and to combat it and go blah, 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 is because they know that it's their behavior that causes it. Look, we are all happy to just get along. I know you are listening. I am also. I don't have a problem working with these people anywhere if they're good. But if you continue to make things destructive for everybody, I don't see how we can tolerate that forever. All right, apparently we are going into a break. We'll be back with more right after this, everybody. All right, everybody, welcome back. It's the Fatch Inside the Eye Live prime time. Again, for Thursday, June the 14th, 2018. So good. Welcome back, everybody. I hope you're enjoying the show. Again, we are live streaming again on YouTube. You can check out the stream at YouTube/user/ Inside the Eye Live. That's my page. But you can go check it out. Again, we are streaming live. You can always subscribe, of course, to get the updates and information. We think everything is going pretty smooth. There's a lot of stuff going behind the scenes, everybody, to make this all happen. But we hope you're enjoying the show as always. Let me try to get moving forward now into the Oy Vey moment. We didn't get that in the first segment there, but I think what we'll do now is let's kind of put that in here to start the second hour here.
Oy vey! Oy gewalt! It's like another shower!
Oy vey!
Oy vey!
Oy vey, everybody!
Hollywood is run by Jews. It's owned by Jews. Very goddamn angry at some of the Jews.
I thrive on William Hears.
Oy vey!
Oy vey, everybody!
Oy vey!
The Oy Vey Moment is proudly sponsored by Andrew Carrington Hitchcock, author of The Synagogue of Satan, Updated, Expanded, and Uncensored. The Synagogue of Satan, Updated, Expanded, and Uncensored features a rapturous 144,000 words that is replete with additional articles never before seen in print. And after having its distribution banned by Amazon and Lulu, The Synagogue of Satan, updated, expanded, and uncensored, is now available from Barnes Review at barnesreview.org. Order your copy today, won't you? Of course, don't forget to listen to Andy's The Andrew Carrington Hitchcock Show, which streams every Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock a.m. to 11 o'clock a.m. Eastern on Eurofolk Radio at eurofolkradio.com. To listen, simply visit eurofolkradio.com during showtime and click on the Listen Live Now link, or visit andrewcarringtonhitchcock.com for Andy's free show archives, which comprises one of the most extensive guest lists in the alternative media.
All right, everybody, welcome. Let's the OFA moment. Not sure exactly where I even wanted to go with this. I spent a little bit of time researching, trying to see where we wanted to go with the OFA moment. I think based on the theme here, with the Alison Chablot issue and what's happened to the minister, Farrakhan, who's also now under a little bit of duress here. And what I thought we might do is talk about one of Farrakhan. We're going to have to go to Australia for this. But it has to deal with the way the Jewish media is framing the debate here. And it's very critical that people wake up to how it's being done. The title on this particular story reads, Farrakhan supporter Tamika Mallory booted out of major Australian conference after new anti-Semitic outburst. Well, if we take the outburst and the Allgemeiner, which is another Jewish newspaper, they write here regarding Alison Chablot, in quotation marks, repulsive anti-Semite convicted by UK judge for Jew-hating YouTube videos. Both of these are highly offensive. They're dishonest. They're pathetic, quite frankly, but this is the way Jews play the game. They're dishonest. They really are. This is completely dishonest. We've had Allison on the show multiple times. But Jews don't care about reality. They only care about perception. They understand better than you, perhaps, that perception is 90% of reality. And as long as they can get you to perceive something, you're going to be able, or they're going to be able, to focus and get you to do what they want you to do, which is to basically to oppress and suppress everybody within your family and your friends and your social life and your larger community based on this idea called anti-Semitism, which is nothing more at the end of the day than literally calling out their behavior. I mean, think about it. All we're doing is calling out their behavior. Now, in the case of this Tamika? Yeah, Tamika Mallory. She was scheduled to speak in Australia again at what was called the Good Life Summit, which begins in Melbourne yesterday. And the event brings together very high-profile politicians and advocates to discuss poverty, education, healthcare, domestic violence, and other quote-unquote social policy questions. And among this year's speakers were a Mr. David Daniel Andrews, who's Prime Minister of the Australian state of Victoria, Matthew Guy, who is the leader of the opposition Liberal Party, and Nayuka Gori, who is a prominent Aboriginal rights activist. Now, none of that I really care about, quite frankly, but addressing the New York-based Center for Constitutional Rights, which is by Jewish standards, a far-left organization, as if Jews are anywhere near rational themselves. On Friday, Mallory described the creation of the Jewish state 70 years ago as a human rights crime. Well, again, why would that be seen as anti-Semitic? Actually, it's even worse than that. The creation of Israel was a fraud. See, when they created the state of Israel, Jews promised to uphold certain values. They have not values, but certain rights. But basically they agreed to certain terms. Jews agreed to certain terms on the creation of Israel, but they've never honored a single term. Now, when you go into a contract and the person who you signed the contract with does absolutely nothing to fulfill the agreement that you've agreed to, we can safely presume that the people doing it entered into that contract fraudulently. They never had any intent in living up to their agreement. Now we all know about the Kol Nidre and how Jews don't believe they have to they don't have to honor anything they tell us. We know they're a dishonest people. But all that this woman said is, it says here, and I'm quoting, it's clear you needed a place to go, meaning Jews. Actually, they still need a place to go because they're becoming less and less welcomed, for sure. She says, cool, we get that. I hear that. And then she says, but you don't show up to somebody's home needing a place to stay and decide that you're going to throw them out and hurt the people who are on that land. Well, in the case of Jews, well, that's kind of what they're doing. We have ample evidence right now of Jews laughing, cheering the death and the murder of Palestinians. They don't have any qualms about this. These guys are sick. They're psychopaths. A spokesperson now added that the Good Life Summit is about setting positive vision for a fair and just Victoria. We don't want anything to detract from that vision. Well, how is dealing with a parasitic entity detracting from the vision? It doesn't. It highlights that there's a problem with this greater idea called this Jewish people. She says here, her consistent refusal to publicly denounce Louis Farrakhan. Why should she have to denounce anybody? Why is it that Jews think that they have a right to tell you who you must denounce? This is offensive. This is arrogant. This is beyond rational. It's not for some lame jerk moron. I'm trying to be polite here. That wears a yarmulke to get up on a stage and say, you'd have to denounce your mother. You have to denounce your father. Who are they? That's what they're doing to you. They're literally telling you what and who you have to denounce. They're telling you who you can and can't associate with. They're telling you what you can and can't think. How do we associate Jews with anything other than tyranny? Think about it. How do these people really think that they're going to get away with this forever? It just doesn't make any sense. Now, Mallory, it says here, is a loyal supporter of the anti-Semitic Nation of Islam leader, Louis Farrakhan. Well, so what? She has a right to do what she wants. That's America. Jews are supporters of the hyper-racist state of Israel, right? But they're supposed to have a right to that, right? They're supposed to have a right to tell you to go denounce somebody, right? But you're not supposed to be able to have a right to do what you want in return. How is this fair to the American people? How is this fair to anybody? It's time to tell these Jewish people to just get the hell out of your faces. Folks, it's a game that's going to lead nowhere but to super high-level hurt feelings that can only come back to harm Jewish people themselves. It's always been that way through history, time and time again. All they can do is hope to keep putting in all of these laws to control, literally, the backlash. But I have this to say to Jewish people. People get it now. They're waking up in droves. It's not like 10, 15 years ago when you could stifle everybody and everything was fine. Folks, have some common sense here. If there's any common sense in your culture, and I'm not banking that there are, quite frankly. You control the police, but the police are our people. That's why you want to replace our people with Somalis, Hondurans. Because you want to kick out the people who actually used to keep law and order effective in our country. We get it. We're understanding that. Everywhere we see it happening. And the fact that we raise issues and you call it, quote unquote, anti-Semitic, well, what you're telling us is the way you're using the term is you're against factually correct material. You're against honesty. You're against decency. Is this the message from the Jewish community? That's what they're telling me, because they use this term in a way. I know Alison Chablot a little bit. She's been on my show. I've talked to her privately. How do these thugs wearing yarmulkes inside of Germany get off to calling her, quote unquote, vile, racist, Jew hater? Nobody hates more than Jews hate. Folks, Jews got to stop projecting themselves onto the rest of us. It's becoming pathetic the more we watch it. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of watching. It's like, you guys are idiots. Really, they're not that smart, everybody. They rely on the fact that you are frozen in fear. Literally, they rely on this fact. And it's time to stop being afraid. You can't shut everybody down. Their media sucks. It's imploding. Okay. The whole Holocaust narrative is imploding. Folks, it's imploding on them everywhere. Stop being afraid. Literally, stop being afraid. And you'd be surprised just how fast some of these things start to unravel themselves for you, quite frankly.
I'm going to quickly, by Allah's
This is grace, the Minister Farrakhan, by the way, and what's
talk
happening
to
locally.
Us about what is anti-Semitic. Because that's the label that they put on me and us and every black leader of consequence was called anti-Semitic. And many white people have been called anti-Semitic going up to President Carter. So I ask you, you know, what did I do that all of them jump on me for telling the truth about them? Now they out there teaching you to hate me. Many of you don't know Farrakhan, but you heard about me from them or their instruments. Don't go near him. He's a bigot. He's a hater. He's anti-white. He's a misogynist. He's homophobic. He is anti-Semitic.
So you see, folks, it's not just the Fetch. It's not just me, but there's many people. Here's a well-respected guy in his own side, Minister Farrakhan. We don't agree with everything he does, for sure. But on certain issues, folks, you have to talk and say how it is. You got to speak exactly just what is happening out there. Look, all this crap that comes from the Jewish community. You're this, you're that, you're this, you're that. Give us a freaking break, you morons. Really, just give us a break. And of course, we don't expect them to give us a break. What we say is just give us some breathing space because you guys are idiots. That's really what's happening here. We have devolved into a society where the lowest order of our people have risen to the top. And then they allow this childish, idiotic Jewish culture to run roughshod over everybody. Folks, you don't have a say in anything? Is that how you want this world and this planet, this civilization, this country of yours to go? Is that how you guys really want this to work? Think about it, everybody. Mr. Jew over there, he says, you are this. And because of he said that, your life is supposed to be destroyed because of him? And you're not supposed to have anything to say? He says, and whatever he says is that's writ of fact. Is that how you guys want to live a future in America? Because that is what is being set up now. Literally now. You know, in the past, I used to get hammered a little bit because, you know, I would use the term Jew. And I don't use the term in a way that's any different from what my Jewish colleagues back in Los Angeles would use. I use the term as they use it. I mean, they don't like the fact that I use it. It's kind of like a black guy doesn't like the fact that you use the term nigger on them. But they'll use it all the time amongst themselves. And you can use it if you become part of them. But Jews want to say, well, you can't use the word Jew unless you're part of us. This is idiotic, folks. This is just, again, this is your language. You don't sacrifice your language to a foreign occupying power. And that's what's happening here. We are allowing a foreign occupying power to determine how we can use our words,
what our words even mean, and it's so stupid that it's so obvious that they don't even have a clue how English is designed and built. Yet they attempt, like a bunch of monkeys, to try to define the language for us. War is peace. Peace is love. Peace is hate. Kindness is evil. You name it. It's, you know, I look at Jewish logic on language, and it's like they're out there telling me how they're such an ingenious, cultured people. But I'm like, you guys can't even figure out the basic fundamentals of ABC. You guys haven't even figured out how to put together one and one yet. You get one and one, and you arrive at anti-Semite because I said two. If you give me five and five and I say 10, the answer in the Jewish community is you must be an anti-Semite because you're speaking true. That's what I get from the Jewish community. I'm not sure how this community believes that it can continue to work at this level and not face a backlash. I just don't get it. Everywhere I look now, people get it. Everywhere I look, I hear about Jews whining about anti-Semites all the time. Now, folks, there's different layers of a society. There's different layers of a culture. The Jews have a Kabbalistic term for this. It's called Zimzum. T-Z-I-M-T-Z-U-M. I always like to say what you should do is just reverse it. And what's the hidden clever code? Must mystify. Because the Zimzum is about the peeling away of a layer where the further away you are from the truth, the less you understand. And as you get closer and closer into the center of the circle, you begin to clarify or reality begins to clarify for you. It's Kabbalistic per se, but it's not just Jewish. It's just reality. The CEO, he makes a decision based on his advisors, his board of directors, and they'll set a corporation off in motion, and the vision is set. But the idea behind it isn't always communicated to people. And when it's evil, and there's an evil energy that's created the idea, it's very rarely ever communicated publicly because evil needs to survive in the dark. So when we look at things like 649 migrants, trafficked human beings is what it is, waiting to call on an Italian port and they can't get in, and then the French are saying, it's unconscionable that you didn't take these people in, and they're saying, well, you take them in, France. They don't want them. Malta doesn't want them. Nobody wants them. Spain decides to take them. But see, nobody ever got, till it was way too late in the game, this idea called the Kudenhove-Kalergi plan, which is the racial destruction of the European people. Nobody figured that out yet. And the more you start to peel away why the politicians do what they're doing, and it's all about destroying Western civilization, it's very hard to come to any other conclusion other than that. You can't even go into certain areas of France now. You can't go into certain areas of Italy, Germany. Every nation in the West has created what we can call no-go zones. I can go into areas of Saudi Arabia, and there are no-go zones in Saudi Arabia. Some of those are by immigrants. Others are by Saudis, but of a different tribe. See, the tribes don't mix, folks. They can, but they don't. I would encourage all of you to go to a place like Monterey Park in California or Alhambra in California. You're not going to find a ton of Mexicans there. You're going to see almost all Chinese. Same with Monterey Park. It's all Chinese. Go up and down the main streets, and it's all Chinese. You can't even read the signs. They're not mixing. And I don't have a problem with that because they work hard. Where I have a problem is when you have hundreds upon hundreds and tens of thousands of migrants coming into a nation and they're being trafficked, and the money and the opportunity that you're losing because all this money is going on a criminal element from other countries. It's beyond a shame.
It's a crime. It's treason. And we must really start to drive this point home. It's treason, everybody. When we hear Jews getting up on pedestals about how this person is a repulsive anti-Semite, we should not be shouting down that person. We should be shouting down the Jew for daring to call somebody something where they know the intent is to harm them. Why is it that Jews have a need to harm everybody? You cannot go out of your way to call someone an anti-Semite without having the back-end issue of trying to cause harm. Why should we tolerate somebody that's always trying to cause harm? Because you know what? You can raise the issue of Jewish domination in the media. That's a simple fact. We're not trying to harm any particular Jew, are we? We're just raising an issue that's important to us as a society. Look, the mainstream media, the Jewish media, is an enemy of the American people. It's an enemy of Western civilization. We're not trying to harm any particular Jew, are we? We're trying to draw attention to what is wrong with our society in a political arena for which we have a right and an obligation and even, you could say, a duty. I think we're still okay. What time is it? Yeah, we're still okay. We're going to be going into a break pretty quick here, I think. So I got to be careful. We don't have the studio right now, folks, but we do have a back clock. And, of course, we do hope that that will work for us here as we go into the break. Just want to say we are, again, live streaming on YouTube. So if you'd like to make your way over to YouTube, it's just a fun way to check out the show. You get to see the Fetch's face a little bit while he's doing these kind of rants and kind of a fun thing here. But again, we are going into a break. It's the Fetch, everybody. We'll be back right after this. It's Inside the Eye Live Prime Time. It's the Fetch, Inside the Eye Live Prime Time for Thursday, June the 14th. Welcome back, everybody. We're live streaming again on YouTube. If you haven't checked out the stream, we definitely would encourage you to do so. Go to YouTube /user/ Inside the Eye Live and try to track down the video that way. I'll try to figure out how to get to an easier way. But if you've got the link, everybody, share it in the chat rooms, send it out to Twitter, do what you got to do. We're now into the final half hour of the show here on Inside the Eye Live Primetime for Thursday. You know, I was talking to Alfred Schaefer today. That's right, Alfred Schaefer. He's going to be going into court next week. Not next week, in a couple more weeks, what he calls the Inquisition, basically for his quote-unquote daring to question the Holocaust, things like that. And he's going to be talking. He's very positive about what's going on. He's saying things are going much better for his sister now, who is still in jail for whatever. They don't even know when she's going to be released. She's basically being, as the story goes here, held without charge on something that was done literally years upon years ago. And the cruelty upon which Jews are trying to exact revenge on their targets is something that we should really be paying close attention to. And the reason why is because Jewish people always want to tug on your emotions. They want to tug on your sensibilities. They want you to have some type of moral affinity or sympathy towards Jewish people in general. Folks, at some point, you got to be cruel to be kind. You know, I was reading the Alison Chablot information to Alfred Schaefer today, and District Judge John Zaney sentenced Chablot again today to 20 weeks imprisonment, but suspended this for 2 years. And he put in here, he said that he was entirely satisfied that the material was grossly offensive and intended to insult Jewish people. Well, I read this and it's like, okay, this was grossly offensive. First of all, there was nothing grossly offensive about it. This is an insult. This judge should be driven literally out of the court system. He is himself. He lacks any sense of intellectual capability. This was written by a Jewish person. Nobody in their right mind, folks, nobody goes, that's grossly offensive. That's Jewish hyperbole, everybody. That's you dumb. So this judge is stupid in a very real way, and he's treasonous in a very real way. Because he knows he's clamping down on a basic right of the British people, which is that to have freedom of speech. And it's a human right. It's universally recognized by virtually every signatory to the United Nations. But what does he mean by it intended to insult Jewish people? Since one is intending to insult Jewish people, the reason why you're trying to convict somebody. Since when is insulting somebody out there reason for a criminal case? See, my point is this. We never understood. You know, we hear all the sob stories about how the Germans kicked all the Jews out. Oh, they kicked us out. After you start to see things like this, you're starting to wonder just why they did it, right? The universities are so filled with cesspool of corruption. You have to kick all these Jews out. What else can you do? If you want your nation to return to health, what can you do? In the case of Judge Zaney, it intended to insult Jewish people. Okay, and as I read that, Judge Zaney has just put a precedent that says all Jews are the same. That Jew, that Jew, that Jew, that Jew, that Jew, it doesn't matter. They're all the same. Because if you insult just somebody who was trolling you and you respond to that one Jew, and Jews turn that insulting Jewish people, and that's the court precedent, then that Jew is guilty of traitor. And oh, you all are. You're all treasonous. Because that's the precedent here. You're all one and the same. All Jews are one and the same. That's the precedent that has been set here in this trial. All Jews are one and the same. If that Jew's a traitor, so is that one. If that Jew is a racist, bigot, supremacist, so is that one. Because how else can you deal with the fact that, quote unquote, it insulted Jewish people? What the hell is that supposed to mean? Unless you're telling us that Jews are a single body, a single organ, and therefore they're all just one and the same. That Jew over there is traitor. Okay, you all are because you're covering for it. I can't insult that Jew. I can't talk about that Jew because if I talk about that Jew, it still applies to you over here. See, you guys, the Jewish people, they think they're so clever and smart, but they're creating the logic that because they don't really understand our language, folks. They're not as smart as you think. I know. There was a story came out of Israel just this week, some minister, he said the Jewish people are the intellectual supremacists of planet Earth. No, what they are is the great criminal element of planet Earth. And they rise to power through corruption and criminality. That's as we can view it. Why is George Soros allowed to buy all of these different positions for all of these different Jews? That's criminality, folks. Why is this idiot from Hungary, who I don't even believe is a citizen of the United States, allowed to influence America? Why? Why? I'd like to know how all of these Jews who are living in New York think that they have a right to go sponsor some race in some backwater town. That's not even backwater, it's back dusty town of Texas. And why are they involved in an election in, let's say, North Dakota? I'll tell you why. Because they're buying up the government, just as Mike said earlier today. They're buying up everything that isn't nailed down. And if it is nailed down, they just kind of grind away the nail and pull everything up. These guys aren't ethical, folks. And you're not dealing with an ethical enemy. When a Jew can go out there and say, I'm going to privately prosecute a woman, privately, what the Jew is telling you is that they're above the law. And if they're above the law, then they have the farthest to fall. Think about that. If they are above the law, they have the farthest to fall. And you should not have any sympathy for these people. They don't have sympathy for you. They gloat about convicting somebody for insulting somebody? Really? So basically, Jews have set the precedent, folks, that when you rise to power, if any Jew insults you, you just put them in jail. Give them a suspended sentence. That's what Jews are saying. That's the rules that we should all be playing by. Because it's just a matter now of might makes right, not logic, reason, and the law. The law has been thrown out the window here. Jews are saying, if we have power, we can do this to you. The law be damned. Logic be damned. Rationalism be damned. Because we're Jews. Now, we're not saying that we're going to be stupid like that. Don't be stupid like a Jew. Not in this case. This is just dumb. Oh, you insulted Jews and you intended to insult Jews. That's why we prosecuted you. Really? Okay. Okay, remember that. The next time you want to harm some Jewish guy, and nobody's saying you should go out and harm them for nothing, but if they insult you, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to jail them. You're supposed to make sure that their life is destroyed because they insulted you. That's the law. That's the way the Jews have played this. And they're looking at you like, yeah, we're great. And then you look at all of their various newspapers and stuff, and you go on out there, and oh, where is it? I mean, I have lost. Where's my paper here? Here it is. Repulsive anti-Semite. Folks, you just have to do like a search. Just do a search. New approach German. No, that's not the one. Let me see if I can get some more titles for you just to kind of give you a feel for what these guys are doing. It looks like most of this on her has fallen off already. The news feeds have fallen. But basically, folks, if you look everywhere you look within the Jewish community, something is not right. Title: How the World's Oldest Hatred Became Fashionable Again. Well, I'll tell you how it became fashionable again. Because you're a criminal element and people are sick and tired of the way Jews are behaving. It's really that simple. How can we sit there and not be incensed that you went and prosecuted somebody and destroyed their life because you said it's an insult? Since when do we start taking speech away because of quote-unquote insults? Then again, the story of Geert Wilders, which you covered earlier today. Can you imagine Geert Wilders, a leading politician in Holland, I believe it is going, putting together a massive display of anti-Muhammad, anti-Islam cartoons, saying, oh, well, it's not the problem if we insult you guys. The problem is you want to kill us for doing it. He said that today. You really, Mr. Geert? It's like all of these people, and Tommy Robinson, he's been sent into prison now, where 70% of the inmates are Muslims. Well, okay, well, doesn't that tell you if you have that many Muslims in your prisons that there's a problem with the fact that you keep bringing in a ton of these people more? And why aren't you addressing the fact that Jews are the one behind all this? Nobody's talking about it in the UK. All we hear about is Corbyn's anti-Semitic. Everything's anti-Semitic. And Brexit, it's like, who's May? May's got to be the dumbest cluster F I've ever seen as a prime minister, and she's not even elected. She was handed the position. So, according to Israel, this is a good thing. Anti-Semitism on social media is declining. Oh, that's a good thing. Because nothing is really anti-Semitic out there. If you're intelligent, it's anti-Semitic. That's not anti-Semitic. See what I mean? It's like the whole word is a canard used by Jews to stifle dissent, to stifle free speech. It's the only way we can actually see this word in play. I have no other way of even beginning to comprehend what they are doing here. You know, we've got a situation going on now inside of Jordan, kind of moving to some international stuff. In Jordan, we've had some massive protests on the streets here, and it all stems from a $613 or $723 million IMF loan that was taken out. And this loan, of course, is starting to come due as things do come due. And the people here revolted. Literally, they revolted out on the streets. And there was no choice. The government here, they had to resign. And the king basically had them resign. So what happened was they changed the prime minister here. Now, as I look into the old prime minister, the old prime minister was making a ton of very negative statements and actions towards the Syrian government. And all of this time, maybe there is pressure on the guy, but some people are real believers, you know. Oh yeah, they really believed this stuff. Yeah, the everybody believes. Yeah, there 19 Arabs really did 9/11. I mean, there's some real believers out there. They're just so cowardly they can't look at reality and see that things aren't as they really are. This prime minister before, don't know his name, Mulkey or something like that. He refused to make any overtures towards Syria. And I'm thinking, okay, you're desperate for money. You've lost all of your trading routes. Syria was one of your main trading partners. The Syrians are reaching out saying, hey, look, let's put this away. Let's end this idiocy here, and we will allow you Jordanians to come in and actually help rebuild some of our country. But let's stop this nonsense now. We are going to be attacking in the south, and we're going to come back to the border. It's our country. And the Jordanian previous government is like, oh, no. I thought, well, it's not even your country, you morons. Come on. Think about it. Come on. And now you're like in a huge financial mess, and you still don't want to just solve problems. War, folks, does not help anybody but the banks and, of course, the military-industrial complex. That's it. It doesn't help anybody else. Jordan, here, I'm like, okay, Qatar just announced $500 million bailout to the country. The Saudi Gulf countries, I think they announced $2.3 billion. I hear that the IMF is working on a bridge loan to help the tide. But folks, the entire Middle East, it's been thrown into chaos. It's been thrown into, I don't even know what to call it really. But they need to solve the problems here. And you can't solve the problem when you have a group of maniacal, sadistic, they're not clueless, but they're kind of clueless idiots next door here in Israel. It's difficult. And it's really difficult when you look at the United States and you've got Jewish agents everywhere running foreign policy, like a Nikki Haley. What a sad, pathetic little wimp this person is. What a lying. I mean, there's some, you want to talk about a woman that's got some type of problem mentally, emotionally, intellectually. It's Nikki Haley, folks. This woman, how does she even keep her job? How does the great guru Trump allow such an idiot to keep her job? It's beyond me, really. It's beyond me. But folks, you know, we have a lot of changes going here in the Middle East. Hodeida, which is one of the main ports, if not the one, but the main port. It's on the Red Sea, inside Yemen, on the coast of the Red Sea. And the Saudis tried to storm the port the other day. There's worries that if the port gets shut down, they're going to lose and put another 250,000 people into peril here. So a lot of changes here. The Syrians are saying, look, the French, the Italians, the UK, the Americans, you're all going to have to leave my country eventually. And you might as well do it sooner rather than later. So you're looking at some major pushes down in the south. In some of the American-occupied territory, people are flying the Syrian flag. And the Americans apparently are pissed off about that, as well as their proxy armies. So things are really changing a lot here. You know, you go to America, you got this inspector general's thing that's been strolled out. And basically, I'm not sure what really is happening inside of America. You know, Hillary should have been locked up years ago. You know what I mean? Literally years ago. Barack Obama should have been executed for treason because this guy's not who he says he is. He's an imposter. There's so much problems going on inside of governments at the senior level that it's maybe going to take a two-pronged attack, one through the democratic process and one through civic action. Kind of like, in some respects, I wouldn't mind seeing what Turkey did. Turkey recently, after the coup d'etat or attempted coup d'etat, they purged over 120,000 individuals from the Turkish public service roles. Police, fire, teachers, professors, you name it. Pretty much everybody. You know, anybody and everybody. And they've been in a state of emergency since that stage back then. And America needs something like that, folks. Look, when you have a situation and it's become all too prevalent that you can't speak, that you must bow down, you're becoming a subject. You're becoming a slave to the political elite. And the message coming out of the UK right now by the Committee Against Anti-Semitism, by this judge that just sentenced Alison Chablot to suspended 20 weeks in jail. Folks, these are problems. These people are dishonest. You know, a lot of people have been complaining. I think Michael McCarthy or something like that, one of these guys in California, he's a politician. He's trying to become Speaker of the House. He's currently the House Majority Leader, but not the Speaker. He was complaining in a Breitbart op-ed piece about something to the effect that conservatives in America are not going to take this stifling censorship lying down. Well, the stifling censorship reeks across multiple platforms, multiple nations. Twitter, for its part, has revoked in, make sure you put that in capital letters here, the same gentleman I just showed, Louis Farrakhan, the Minister Farrakhan. And he called this thing called Unmasking the Satanic Jew in the Synagogue of Satan. Apparently he's been following Andrew Carrington Hitchcock. But he tweeted about Unmasking the Satanic Jew in a link to a 3-hour-long sermon. Sounds like Inside the Life on Saturday. Now, Twitter has what they say strict policy about verifying people who promote hate in tweets. Well, first of all, there was nothing hateful about this. We should not allow social justice monkeys, people with half a brain, to determine for us how these words are being interpreted. Literally, we are allowing inferior, sub-intellectual people to control the direction of our language. I watched the speech just to hear. There was nothing, quote unquote, hateful about it. It was a very reasoned, rational approach to his audience about what are some of the problems we are all facing, not just the black community, but us also. There was nothing hateful about this. Now, we could say very clearly that whoever made this decision to revoke Mr. Farrakhan's blue check mark, the coveted blue check mark on Twitter, that person or that committee that made that decision is filled with hate. See, we could make that claim equally. So what do? Do we find out who they are? Do we destroy their lives? Do we put them out of work? Do we make sure that their families? This is the old disgusting troll attitude that I had to deal with 10, 15 years ago. Now it's become institutionalized inside of social media. The troll world dominates, and it's the idiots. These guys are morons, folks. They have no brain. They just throw words out. It's hate. It has nothing to do with hate. It's bigotry. It has nothing to do with that. It's this. It has nothing to do with that. People are just throwing charges out and destroying everybody a right to their own ability to communicate in what is the public forum. Folks, if you're using internet protocol, if you're using internet protocol, which is what every social media, everybody on the internet uses internet protocol. Internet protocol was developed by we, the American taxpayer. And as far as I'm concerned, if you are using internet protocol, you must abide by American law. Otherwise, stop using internet protocol. Go develop your own protocol and then try to get your crap out to the rest of us. But if you're going to use our American internet protocol in our American shores, you either follow our laws, follow our ways, or we either nationalize you or we start throwing all of you in jail. That's the message from the Jewish community this week. If you don't agree with us and don't listen to us, it's jail. Plain and simple. That's what the Committee Against Anti-Semitism is saying. That's what the Jewish community is saying. And now, with this new precedent set by the Alison Chablot case, all Jews are one and the same. You do not have to separate it. Mr. the Judge Zinni, he made it very clear. If you insult Jewish, or if you intend to insult Jews, you can be jailed. Okay. If you intend to, they're not segregating, folks. They're all one and the same. Very simple. Let's see here. Farrakhan states here, thoroughly and completely unmasking the Satanic Jew and the synagogue of Satan. Well, folks, why are Jewish people so paranoid about having themselves, I don't know, what do you want to call it, exposed? Why? I'm not sure why they're so afraid. Quite frankly, it doesn't make any sense to me. A Twitter spokesman told the Daily Caller that the company is unable to comment on individual accounts for privacy and security reasons. Again, that's complete bullshit at this stage. The Twitter has decided for all of us what is acceptable or not, plain and simple. Facebook equally. And it's all being dominated by the Southern Poverty Law Center, another Jewish organization. So it's Jews who are behind literally all of this censorship. And as Zinni says, hey, they're all Jews. If you insult this Jew, you're insulting them all. So I guess, according to Zinni, they're all one and the same. You can't just claim, oh, no, I'm only talking about this. No, they're one and the same. It's got a J word on it. It's like, okay, yeah, we're smart. I'm a judge. Yeah, I got a black hat, a white wig. Folks, these guys are traitors. It's very simple. They're just traitors. Let's see. You know, I wouldn't mind getting Farrakhan on the show just to hear what he has to say, man. That'd be kind of a cool thing, actually, just to hear what he's got to do. All right, everybody, we're coming up towards the end of the show. Hope you've enjoyed a lot of it, you know. We're going to have, again, Mark Collett. Mark Collett's kind of – I like the guy. Wow, we got a call coming in. Okay. Welcome, 708 – area code, welcome to Inside the Eye Live.
Hey, Fetch, thought I'd catch you in the last minute here. Going to try and make it quick because we're closing out. But, you know, as Mike called in from, is it South Carolina or North Carolina they're in?
South. You got one from North, South.
So what he was saying about these mayors or governors or whoever these politicians he's talking about, they've been colonized. They're a colony, I mean, of Israel. Okay, that's what they are. And we need to say they're not Jews, man. They're Ashkenazi. We got to put that in front of it. Khazars, yeah.
Well, you know,
Ashkenazis. We got to differentiate. Go ahead.
The courts are telling us that it's Jews. So, okay, the courts decide. And really, yeah. Quite frankly, we are now out of time. We're out of time. It's in the break already. You can't hear it in the background.
Gotcha.
But the break's playing.
Bye-bye.
Everybody, thanks for listening. Thanks for the quick call. And we will see you all on Saturday for Inside the Eye Live, intelligent media for the political universe.